Chapter 13. The next morning, Teo, Nia, and Shio went on the foredeck to watch their progress. They'd left the mountains far behind and were making their way east through the span of tropical forest between La Cumbre and El Valle. "I wonder what kind of trial Fauna set up," Shio murmured to himself as he fiddled with his bracelet. "Probably something to do with animals," Nia said, leaning back against the railing. "Seeing as Fauna is the goddess of animals, I'd say that's an astute observation," Teo grumbled, leaning against the railing as he stared out into the thick tangle of trees along the riverbank. "Somebody woke up on the wrong side of the nest today," Nia teased, petting his wing. It flicked her hand away, agitated. "You okay?" Shio asked, which made Teo feel like an ass because Shio was the one who was really screwed over in all of this. "I'm fine, I just didn't sleep well." It was only half a lie. He had tossed and turned all night worrying about the upcoming trial. He was very much not fine. "I'm just cranky?" Nia guessed. Teo scowled. "No." "Anxious?" Shio asked, like he understood all too well. "Something like that," he admitted. He was nervous about the next trial, and all night he dreamt about Paloma. Over on the large couch, Ocelo was sprawled out in a puddle of sun, taking a cat nap. "Meanwhile, they're over there sleeping like a baby," he grumbled. "The self-confidence is really something," Shio agreed with a roll of his eyes. "Hey," said Nia, nudging him. "Maybe they'll keep it up and stay in last place." As they rounded a corner, familiar chatter caught Teo's ear. Grouped together on a long, hanging branch at the river's edge were a trio of toucans. Teo saw an opportunity and took it. He cupped his hands around his mouth and called out, "Hey there!" The toucans paused, looking at one another curiously, and then back at Teo before taking flight. "Whoa," Shio laughed, stepping back as Teo was swarmed.
"You've got wings,"
one said, landing on the railing to stare up at him in complete shock. Another rested on his shoulder, tail feathers sticking up in the air as she leaned down to inspect his feathers.
"Never seen a boy with wings before,"
she said, patting them tentatively with her foot. The third made himself comfortable on top of Teo's head. Before he could introduce himself, the bird tugged at a lock of Teo's hair.
"Ouch! Bleh!"
The toucan shook out his feathers.
"Only strange human feathers up here, though.
I'm Quetzal's son."
"Quetzal's son?"
The one on his head squawked. All three birds took flight and perched on the railing. They devolved into excited chatter, hopping around excitedly on their blue feet.
"Quetzal's son! Quetzal's son! You're Quetzal's fledgling?"
They bobbed their heads up and down in funny little bows.
"Hello, son of Quetzal. So good to meet you."
It made Teo smile. The birds in Quetzalan were used to seeing him, so he rarely got this sort of enthusiastic introduction.
"What are they saying?"
Nia asked, giving Teo's arm a shake.
"They're excited to meet me because of my mom," he said.
"Aw,"
Nia beamed.
"You're bird famous, like their little bird prince."
Teo rolled his eyes.
"I wouldn't say that."
He turned back to the toucans, who were still bowing and bumping into each other.
"I was hoping you three could lend me a hand."
"Haven't got hands,"
one said, gravely apologetic.
"Got six wings between us, though,"
rushed another, giving them a flap. The third tipped his large beak in the air and chattered a laugh.
"That was funny. Thank you."
"You see them sleeping over there?"
Teo asked, pointing to where Ocelo was still out cold.
"Smells like a cat. Don't like cats."
"That's Diose Guerrero's fledgling," Teo explained.
One of them shuddered.
"Like that even less."
"They're a jerk," Teo agreed. "And very rude to me and my friends."
"What?"
one gasped.
"No,"
squawked the other, stomping her foot.
"To son of Quetzal?"
Teo nodded, trying to keep his expression solemn. "I was wondering
if you wouldn't mind giving them a rude wake-up for me?
For Son of Quetzal, one announced.
Into the air they shot. What are they doing? Shio asked, confused, but his question was quickly answered.
For Son of Quetzal,
they sang in unison before all three dive-bombed Ocelo. Ocelo woke up with such a violent jerk, they toppled off the couch entirely, disappearing from sight. Teo, Nia, and Shio burst into laughter as they watched the helpful toucans take turns going after Ocelo.
Bad cat! That's our boy!
Ocelo's startled yelps cut through the air, making Nia double over with laughter while Shio had to grip the railing to keep his giggles from toppling him.
Silly cat doesn't even have claws,
a toucan said. With surprising speed, Ocelo leapt to their feet, a snarl contorting their face. They threw out their hand and sharp claws unsheathed like switchblades.
Claws!
The toucans tumbled midair to avoid Ocelo's swipe and took off back to shore. Safe and sound, Teo's new friends hopped up and down on a branch.
We avenged you, Son of Quetzal!
Teo waved his thanks, still laughing too hard to shout back. Ocelo rubbed their head, bleary-eyed and confused as they looked around.
Hurry!
Shio hissed. All three ran down the side of the boat and out of sight before Ocelo could spot them.
That was amazing, Nia laughed once the coast was clear. I'm so jealous. All I can do is make stupid weapons.
I guess being a lowly jade isn't all bad, said Teo, unable to keep the grin off his face.
Next time you should see if they'll poop on his head,
Shio grinned, his small shoulders shaking with laughter. Nia grabbed Shio by the arms and shook him, practically lifting him off his feet.
Oh my gods, yes!
Teo smiled, his tension from the morning finally fading away. As they got closer to El Valle, the scenery shifted. The dense trees faded to rolling hills and grassy plains. The valley was circled by the mountains in the far-off distance, and Teo was pretty sure he could see a large lake farther north that connected to the river through a series of canals. On the outskirts of town, there were wide open spaces and the occasional grass-roofed ranch, but the closer they got to Faunus Temple, the more urban it became. All too soon, they were instructed to change into their uniforms. This time, Teo let his wings be free. They kept ruffling and shaking themselves as they lined up, betraying his escalating anxiety. When it was finally time to leave, Luna led the way. As soon as they stepped out onto the dock, the waiting crowd roared with excitement. They proceeded through the streets of El Valle with full fanfare. They were escorted by the 8 fauna jinetes on horseback. Each rider wore the same matching outfits in white with gold accents, lace trousers embellished with ribbons, elaborate dresses with 3 layers of ruffles and traditional embroidery in the shapes of different animals. They wore boots, tied belts, hair bows, and sombreros. Flanking the competitors, the riders performed a carefully crafted choreography while riding side saddle on their steeds. The spins and backward steps were perfectly synchronized. It was like watching a ballet on horseback. Chisme's camera crews were also on scene, snapping pictures and recording video that was displayed on large screens throughout the city for people around Reino del Sol to watch live. Teo did his best to look confident as they walked down the main road, lifting his hand every now and then, even though he knew good and well that no one was cheering for him. Unlike the outer areas of El Valle, the heart of the city resembled any other flashy gold metropolis he'd seen on TV, but with adjustments made with wildlife in mind. Modern buildings had animal-sized doors, and there were feed troughs outside of shops, visited by donkeys and cows. Teo marveled at large communal birdhouses that towered over him, several stories high and nearly the same size as the apartment buildings. Dense thickets of trees stood between high rises,
giving workers views of monkeys swinging along outside their windows or jungle cats napping on branches. Larger roadways had grassy overpasses to allow animals to cross undisturbed. Dispersed between chrome buildings were functional sculptures that provided roosts for slumbering bats. Some of the ground floors were designated dens and burrows, with windows where Teo spied a pile of sleeping agoutis. Herds of coatis roamed open parks, disappearing up trees and into the secure houses tucked under branches, while capybaras soaked in a pond. Shio pointed out a large herd of goats trimming the front lawn of a school, and Teo nearly walked right into a hutch on the sidewalk that housed a group of napping rabbits. How is it so clean? Teo wondered aloud. With all the animals, you'd think everything would stink. Instead, he only smelled dirt, hay, and fresh-cut grass. It's a working ecosystem, Shio explained, pointing to a group of people in jumpsuits who were hosing down a sidewalk and carting some bins. They collect animal waste to compost and turn it into manure, which gets exported to cities like Meizlan, where they have a lot of agriculture. They continued their procession through the city until they found themselves at the arena. Teo's footing faltered. It was completely different from the first trial. Unlike the elaborate mountain Thiera had constructed, this arena was almost barren. It was flat dirt with large rocks of varying shapes and sizes. In the center stood a ring of tall jungle trees, densely packed together side by side. As they approached the platform where their parents waited, a deep growl sounded from the trees. The canopies trembled with the rustling of leaves as birds fled into the air. Teo shivered. What kind of trial is this? A pleased grin curled Nia's lips. Sounds like a monster brawl to me. Dead weight dropped into the pit of Teo's stomach as Luna ushered them forward. When Teo saw his mom, standing with her hands clasped anxiously in front of her and a strained smile on her face, the back of his throat burned. He jogged the last few steps and threw himself against her, wrapping his arms tight around his towering mother. Her surprised laughter tickled his ear. What a lovely hello! For a moment, Teo didn't say anything but pressed his face into the crook of her arm. He squeezed his eyes shut, trying to push out the roar of the crowd to pretend just for a second. They were back home in their own temple. Pajarito? His mother's delicate fingers pushed through his hair. The small touch and his nickname made his heart ache. Teo reached back, catching her soft feathers between his fingers. Mom? Quetzal's black eyes searched his face. Are you all right? She asked. I found out about... He swallowed hard. Shio was showing me and Nia some footage from the past trials because we wanted to see what other jades had competed and... Teo faltered, unable to find the right words. His mother's face pinched as she braced herself, like she could tell what was coming. Teo took a deep breath. Paloma. Quetzal let out a long breath. Paloma, she repeated with such love in her voice it made Teo's chest ache. Her eyes glistened as her lips pulled into a soft smile. It's been so long since I've heard her name. What was she like? Teo asked, desperate to know more about her. The world around him shrank down to nothing but him and his mom. The cheering of the crowd, the press of bodies around them, the sound of his friends talking nearby, all of it faded away as he watched his mother recall a lifetime of moments with his sister. She was like you, Pajarito, Quetzal said at last, a sad little chuckle caught in her throat. A troublemaker. She was brave, too. And feisty. Always giving the priests plenty of grief. Teo imagined his own childhood. Had Paloma had her own Huemac? Had she been friends with the mortal residents of Quetzalan, too? Did they have the same bedroom back at the temple? She gave the trials her all. Quetzal's tone took on an edge. And she was strong. She...
Teo reacted on instinct, pulling his mother down into a hug before the break in her voice turned into full-on tears. Though his mother was a diosa, looming larger than life, in that moment, Teo felt like the bigger one. Like his mother was a small, delicate thing he needed to protect.
I'm sorry, Mom. You don't have to talk about it if you don't want. For so long, I was afraid,
Quetzal continued, the words tearing out of her with a ferocity Teo had never heard.
To have another child, to love someone that much, only for them to...
She pulled away, taking Teo's face in her hands.
I won't let it happen again, Teo vowed.
It was a big promise to make, but he meant every word. He wouldn't let his mother lose another child, not to the trials.
That day, I wished so hard I could have taken her place.
Quetzal's eyes cleared, coming back into the present. She gazed down at him, and for a split second, Teo thought she might start preening his feathers and his hair, the same way she'd done when he was small. But instead, she took a deep breath and stepped away.
It's time for you to line up, she said, forcing a smile. I love you. Good luck.
Teo turned to face Luna, avoiding the stands because he knew he'd find no supporters there. Next to Luna stood Fantasma. The small goddess had been waiting for him to catch her eye, and when he did, she smiled shyly and waved. At least he had one friendly face there to cheer him on. Luna stood in the middle of the platform, Mariachi on her left and Fantasma on her right. Standing by was Diosa Fauna. She was dressed in a simple, long-sleeved dress and had an angular face with high cheekbones. She had the large, entirely dark brown eyes of a capybara and long chestnut brown horsehair that cascaded down her shoulders. Her nose was pointy and blush pink. Her most striking feature, of course, was her large deer antlers on which a lace mantle was draped. It gave Teo a headache just imagining what it'd be like to balance those huge things on his head 24/7. Teo was confused to see that the estaciones were also present. The goddesses of the seasons, verano, otoño, and invierno, looked perfectly pleased with themselves, basking in the attention of the cameras as they stood side by side in dresses adorned with flowers befitting their titles. The only one missing was Primavera, who stood dutifully next to Xochitl.
Semidioses, Luna began, voice amplified for the spectators in the stands. For your second trial, you must retrieve a baby alebrije from a nest.
Low murmuring spread through the crowd. Teo's heartbeat raced. Most of the alebrijes had intricate patterns, but some of the strange hybrid animals were so fluorescent they practically glowed. It was impossible to tell by looking at them if the bright colors were harmless or a warning sign of having venomous skin, fire breath, or even electric barbs.
To obtain your alebrije, Luna continued, you must get past the mother.
Luna nodded to the estaciones. In a coordinated motion, diosas Primavera, Verano, Otoño, and Invierno twisted their hands. The tall trees in the arena shuddered and then shrank down until they were little more than spindly saplings, revealing what was inside. A nest made of dried foliage and moss-covered logs was in the center of the arena. Among the dull leaves and sticks, Teo spied tiny, colorful dots that must have been their targets. He wasn't sure how they could look so small when their mother was so big. Pacing back and forth in front of the nest was what looked like a jaguar the size of a box truck. Her fur was black, and her spots were kaleidoscopic colors that shifted and changed as she moved. She had a long iguana tail with acid green spines and large, leathery bat wings the color of wine. Large, yellowing fangs that must have been the size of Teo's forearms protruded from her open maw as she stalked back and forth.
Oh, Ocelo, Nia deadpanned. You didn't tell us your mom was coming.
Jealous, Ocelo shot back.
Teo was going to pass out.
or barf, or maybe both at the same time. The other semidioses surveyed their new challenge with varying degrees of interest, but Shio was the only one with enough sense to look terrified. Auristella was already whispering to Aurelio. Marino's face was screwed up like he was running math problems in his head. And Desi appeared far too confident. And then there was Nia, who looked like she'd just been given an early birthday present. "You have 10 minutes to safely bring an alebrije back to the finish," Luna announced. With that, Mariachi trumpeted his cornet, and Teo's watch vibrated, initiating the trial. Teo jogged across the bridge with Shio and Nia at his side, watching warily as the other semidioses sprinted headfirst into danger. "We need a strategy," he said, idly noting how much easier it was to run without his lungs straining against a binder. "There's no way we can take the alebrije down."
"I can,"
Nia shot back, offended.
"I know you can. I'm talking about us," he said, gesturing to himself and Shio. "Teamwork, remember?"
"Oh yeah," Nia laughed. "I forgot." Up ahead, Auristella and Aurelio met the mother alebrije at the end of the bridge. With a flick of his flint-tipped gloves, fire ignited in Aurelio's hands. Auristella took the lead, lobbing fireballs at the alebrije's paws. The mother roared as they tried to push her back, dodging her claws and snapping teeth.
"What if I brought back the mom instead?"
Nia asked as they reached the island. Aurelio and Auristella threw up a trembling wall of fire, keeping the mother alebrije corralled and allowing them, and the rest of the competitors, to get onto the island.
"Diosa Luna said a baby alebrije," Shio said,
keeping as much distance between himself and the fire as he could without falling into the water. Nia made a disgruntled noise at the back of her throat. As if on cue, the alebrije leapt into the air and over the fire, claws extended and ready to fight.
"Watch it!"
Teo caught the back of Shio's and Nia's shirts, dragging them down just as Ocelo lobbed a boulder at the hybrid jaguar. But she leapt out of the way and quickly pounced on them in retaliation, pinning Ocelo to the ground with her massive paws. Ocelo transformed, their snarl turning into an actual growl as their muscles grew and fangs elongated. They gripped each of the alebrije's fangs in their fists. Ocelo's brute strength was the only thing keeping her from sinking her teeth into the flesh of their shoulder. Nia, Shio, and Teo had to sprint forward to avoid getting squashed as Ocelo and the alebrije wrestled for dominance.
"You still want her now?"
Shio asked, winded and puffing as they ran. All three ducked under the huge iguana tail as it slashed through the air.
"Yeah, okay, I see your point,"
Nia conceded.
"We just need to get to the nest and back to the platform,"
Teo reminded them as they ran.
"How hard can it be?"
As it turned out, very. Aurelio and Auristella had already made it to the nest while the others were closing in. The two of them split off, running to the opposite sides of the nest. When she was nearly in reach, Auristella pulled a wild move in which she jumped and swept her leg through the air, shooting an arc of fire from her foot directly at the nest. It was one of the most needlessly extra things Teo had ever seen. He didn't realize it was possible to loathe her more, but Auristella always managed to be full of surprises. Her fire sent the little alebrijes running to the other side of the nest, where Aurelio was waiting. He snatched up a very angry bright blue gecko alebrije by its tail. Teo heard its tiny, angry growls as it thrashed and spat fire at Aurelio. Meanwhile, a fluorescent green Cody with the armor of an armadillo had rolled up into a ball. Quivering like a frightened soccer ball, Auristella scooped it up and tucked it under her arm. Without so much as a pause, the twins turned back to the bridge. And that was when things really started to go south. Unattended, the fire Auristella had flung at the nest spread. Some of the alebrijes scrambled out, fleeing in a panicked frenzy.
A black and green jaguarundi anaconda that was basically a slinky with claws slashed at Ocelo's ankles. An orange jackrabbit roadrunner chased circles around anyone who tried to reach for it, causing Atsi and Shochi to collide right into each other. Panic gripped Teo's spine, urging him to run faster. To hell with getting an alebrije first. He just wanted to make sure they weren't going to be roasted. As Teo ran toward the nest, he spotted Auristela heading for the bridge with Aurelio right behind her. In the split second they passed, Auristela's eyes locked onto his. Her lips quirked into a smirk, and before she was gone, one ember eye winked closed. Teo simmered with anger. His goal flickered out of focus. All he wanted now was to take them down a notch. He threw his body sideways, flinging his wing downward in an attempt to take out Aurelio at the shins. But the golden boy of Reino del Sol leapt straight in the air like it was nothing. Teo cursed under his breath, but before he could try anything else, the ground shuddered, knocking both of them off balance. The jaguar had abandoned Ocelo and returned to her nest. The tiny alebrijes screeched and wailed from inside. Hackles raised, she crouched and tried to swat at the flames. Singed fur stung Teo's nose as she let out a pained yowl. Teo's heart lodged in his throat, snapping him out of his rage. To his surprise, Aurelio was still there. Aurelio's copper-brown eyes widened, the gecko still swinging from his hand.
Aurelio, hurry!
Auristela shouted. Aurelio's weight shifted, like he meant to chase after his sister. But his feet stayed planted. He looked worriedly at Teo. He cut himself off. Anger boiled Teo's blood. Aurelio just stood there, not willing to give up his chance at victory. Teo refused to stand by. Brain buzzing with adrenaline, he ran toward the fire and did the first thing he could think of. Shoulders back and chest open, he extended his wings and used all his strength to flap his wings in an attempt to put out the fire. Unfortunately, the extra oxygen only stoked the embers, breathing new life into the flames. With a whoosh, a wall of heat grazed Teo's face. He threw his arms up and squeezed his eyes shut, waiting for the blaze to devour him. But it didn't. When he opened his eyes, Aurelio stood in front of him. Arms held out and fingers splayed. Flames licked his arms and along his neck, trying to get to Teo, but Aurelio didn't let it. He held back the wall of fire and with a large heave, shoved it back. But there was no one to protect the jaguar. The mother alebrije let out a deep, guttural cry.
No!
The word came out strangled as Teo stood there, fear rooting him to the spot. Suddenly, inexplicably, Marino was next to them. He made a sweeping, pulling motion with his arms, and a large wave splashed across the nest, extinguishing the flames and knocking Teo right off his feet. He scrambled, frantically trying to stop himself from being pulled into the water at the edge of the arena. When a large hand grabbed him and pulled him out of the current.
Sorry about that. You good?
Teo blinked the water out of his eyes to see it was Marino. He managed to nod and the taller boy smiled.
Good.
With that, he ran back into action. The charred nest dripped, and the alebrije mother was drenched but seemingly unharmed as she snuffled in the remains. All but one baby had fled the flames and into the forest. A bright blue and green toucanet with a snake tail popped its head up and looked around. It squawked up at its mom, its chameleon eyes spinning in independent directions. Relief crashed over Teo upon seeing the alebrije was unharmed.
Holy shit!
Nia stood on the other side of the nest, gaping at Teo.
Are you okay?
I think so,
Teo said, patting himself down, chest heaving.
I think Marino just saved me from getting knocked out of the arena.
But why?
Weren't they enemies? When he looked for Aurelio, all he saw was his retreating back, pausing only to pick up the gecko again before tearing off after his sister across the bridge. With the fire out, the jaguar tore off after the twins.
Did you see how big that wave was? Nia asked, grinning ear to ear. That was wild.
Focus, Nia, Teo snapped. The three of them needed to find alebrijes that wouldn't horribly maim them. The toucanet. But he'd been distracted too long. When he looked back, the alebrije mother was alone, staring at him coolly. Their options for finishing this trial were quickly dwindling.
Where's Shio?
Nia jerked her head to where Shio was crouched against a boulder, curled up in a ball with his arms over his head. Something small and absolutely pissed shot through the air, angrily chirping. It wasn't until Teo ran closer that he realized it was a small mouse with the beak and wings of a hummingbird, relentlessly dive-bombing Shio. When he got to Shio, Teo threw one of his wings over him, causing the hummingbird mouse to prick him with his sharp beak.
Ouch! You had to try to pick the smallest, angriest one to go after?
Teo demanded as he attempted to shoo the tiny alebrije away.
I wasn't trying to,
Shio huffed, peeking out from under Teo's wing to scowl.
Smallest and angriest, Nia chuckled. Just like Shio.
There's no time for jokes, Nia, Teo barked. Nia shook her head at herself.
Right, there's no time, Nia, she repeated.
Two sharp bursts from Mariachi's cornet. Buzz, 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 buzz. Auristella and Aurelio had returned to the platform with their alebrijes.
Both of you grab an alebrije before all the easy ones get picked,
Teo shouted, and they split up. It was pure chaos. Teo lunged after the jackrabbit roadrunner, but Ocelo beat him to it. When they picked it up by the scruff of its neck, the alebrije rapidly kicked Ocelo in the face until they dropped it and it bounded away. Teo barely managed to jump out of the way as Marino slid across the ground, having been knocked on his ass by a wily teal goat with butterfly wings. It bounded and kicked, its tiny wings fluttering with all their might, but too small to lift it more than a few inches into the air. Without Aurelio and Auristella, the mother alebrije's attention had zeroed in on Atsi. Sweat on her brow, Atsi threw as many bolts of lightning at the jaguar as quickly as she could. But even Teo could see that they were getting smaller and weaker, probably from all the effort she was putting into dodging, gnashing teeth, and swiping claws. Off to the side, Desi squared off with a scrawny green rooster with the long horns of a bull. The rooster scratched at the ground with his taloned feet before letting out a mighty crow.
Kikiriki!
It lowered its head and ran at Desi. For some reason, Desi didn't seem at all worried. In fact, he grinned as the angry bird charged. Teo wanted to call out and warn him, but that was, of course, useless. Quick on his feet, Desi sidestepped the rooster just in time and touched his fingers to its back like they were playing a game of tag. Instantly, the rooster skidded to a stop, kicking up a cloud of dust. It turned to face Desi, cocking its head as it considered him for a moment before letting out a confused cluck. Desi held out his hand and, much to Teo's astonishment, the rooster walked right up to him. With zero retaliation, Desi scooped up the rooster and tucked it carefully under his arm. The once angry creature contentedly murmured as Desi raced with it back toward the bridge.
Freaking Desi,
Nia grumbled.
How the hell did he do that?
Teo asked, bewildered.
He's the son of Amor,
Nia said, like that explained everything.
Every child of Amor can manipulate affection,
she added when Teo gave her a lost look.
Desi's specialization is addictive contentment. If he touches you, he can make it so you feel so good being near him, you never want to leave. Some folks at school say he can make it so strong that you'll, like, die because you can't bear to live without him, but that's pretty dramatic if you ask me.
Suddenly,
Quaymac's warning not to get near Desi made much more sense. But right now, there were more important things to worry about. Nia gasped, and Teo spun around to find a scarlet-red alebrije with the body of a javelina and the head of a rhinoceros beetle digging its tiny hooves into the dirt.
Holy shit, look at that thing!
Teo yelped, backing out of its way.
He's beautiful!
Nia beamed. When it lowered its head and charged, Nia raced forward.
Dibs!
Teo gladly let her have it. The teal goat with butterfly wings bounded across Teo's path, but when he tried to grab it, it kicked out its tiny hooves, ready to take out his shins. In a flash, vines suddenly ensnared the creature, knocking it on its side and tying its legs together. Shochi tugged the vines back and caught the alebrije's bound legs like it was a purse. She gave Teo a smug grin before running back toward the bridge, the alebrije bleeding angrily in her arms.
You know, it'd be a lot easier to hate her if she wasn't so hot.
Nia huffed.
You say that, Teo panted, about everyone. It's not my fault. We're all really hot, Teo.
Another semi-dios with an alebrije wasn't a good thing, but as the jaguar raced to intercept Shochi, Teo thought at least it would buy them some more time.
We need to hurry!
Teo called to his friends. Frantically, he looked around for an alebrije.
Squonk!
The strange noise made Teo jump. The tiny toucanette alebrije stood at his feet. It cocked its head to the side, peering up at Teo with strange, googly chameleon eyes. When Teo only blinked in response, surprised and also very confused, it impatiently made the same sound again. It was much more of a honk than any bird call he'd heard before. Teo hesitated for a moment, unsure if this was some sort of trick before kneeling down.
Squonk, squonk!
The toucanette bounced on its tiny feet, wings flapping and snake tail swishing before it waddled up to Teo. He extended his hand to the strange little creature, but then a terrible, piercing yowl rang out. Shio had stepped on the tail of a midnight blue kitten with a neon yellow turtle shell. It hissed and spat, batting at Shio's leg while the hummingbird mouse continued to dive bomb him.
I didn't mean to,
Shio cried. But the damage was already done. Swooping down on its massive wings, the mother alebrije landed in front of them. A roar echoed from her gaping maw. Teo grabbed Shio and jumped into the air, using every bit of strength he had in his wings to get them out of the way. They barely cleared the jaguar as she barreled through. They landed hard on the ground, a sprawled tangle of limbs. Nia threw herself between them and the mom and conjured up a large steel shield.
Stay behind me,
she shouted as the silver bangle on her wrist melted and reformed into a spiked club in her fist. The jaguar snarled, its large head lowered as it stalked toward them. Teo knew she was strong, but he didn't think even Nia could take on an angry mother alebrije. In the distance, the cornet sounded Shochi's safe return. Buzz, buzz. That was when Teo noticed the small ball of bright green and blue between the jaguar's two front legs. It was the toucanet, waddling after Teo and squawking insistently.
What's it doing?
Nia asked. Teo shook his head.
I have no idea. Ask it! I can't ask it. It's not a bird, it's an alebrije.
Teo shot back. The trumpet of the cornet cut through the air as his watch vibrated again. Teo thought back to Desi, how the rooster had willingly gone with him, how he hadn't used any violence or brute force. Now that he thought of it, the mother had gone after every other semi-dios who'd taken one of her brood, but he couldn't remember her chasing after Desi. An idea struck Teo with a jolt. It was a very bad, impossibly dangerous idea that would maybe get him killed. But if he didn't try something, all three of them were dead anyway.
What are you doing?
Nia hissed as Teo stepped out from behind her shield.
This is either gonna help us a little or hurt me a lot, he murmured as he slowly moved closer. His heart rammed painfully against his ribs. The jaguar's black lips pulled back from her teeth as she let out a low growl. Teo's knees shook violently. Every fiber of his being screamed at him to turn and run, but he refused. Instead, he focused on the toucanette and kneeled. His breath shook in his lungs as he slowly, slowly extended his hand. The big alebrije paused. Her teeth were less than a foot from his neck, hot breath washing over his skin. But she didn't attack. The tiny toucanette hobbled out from under its mother and climbed right into Teo's palm. It tipped its head back and let out a terrible warbling sound that made Teo wince, but it bounced happily in hand before scaling his arm. The jaguar watched as the toucanette hopped onto Teo's shoulder. When he glanced back, Teo realized the toucanette's vibrant feathers matched his almost perfectly. The small bird nestled into Teo's scapular feathers where his wings met his shoulder and squawked its ugly little song again. It clicked its banana-shaped beak, which was pretty cute, until it started happily plucking Teo's feathers. He cursed under his breath, but if it made the little alebrije happy, then so be it. But Teo wasn't going to count his chickens before they hatched. The mother considered Teo, her golden eyes baring into his for what felt like forever. But then she huffed, the puff of air from her nostrils ruffling Teo's hair. A familiar yowling cut through the air. Otzi was struggling to get a hold on the turtle cat, carrying it by the scruff of the neck as it slashed its paws through the air. The jaguar's pupils dilated, and she left Teo to chase after Otzi. Teo staggered, the relief dizzying. Finally, he had an alebrije, and a willing one at that. Nia and Shio gaped at him.
Damn, when did you get bigger balls than me? Nia asked, before breaking into delighted laughter.
Shio continued to stare, so shocked that he didn't even swat at the hummingbird mouse that continued to attack him. But now was not the time for celebrating. The trial wasn't over. As a reminder, the cornet trumpeted again as Marino crossed the finish. Buzz, buzz.
We gotta go, Teo urged. Now!
Well, what the heck are we supposed to do? Nia said, throwing her arms into the air.
We're not alebrije whisperers like you and Desi.
Then just be fast while the mom is still distracted, Teo said.
Give me your jacket,
he told Shio, growing impatient as the younger boy struggled to pull it off over his head. As the hummingbird mouse swooped in for another attack, Teo used the jacket to catch it out of the air. It chirped angrily and flitted around, stabbing its sharp beak into the material.
Take this and be careful, Teo said,
pushing the bundle into Shio's arms. Maybe they couldn't coax the alebrijes into submission, but they could at least be more careful with them. Catching on, Nia used her bangles to form what looked like a large metal mixing bowl and used it to scoop up the beetle-headed rhinoceros javelina. It bucked and thrashed and tried to get out, but its hooves slid uselessly against the tall, smooth edges. Atsi and Ocelo were left. Ocelo grabbed the jaguarundi anaconda, and like an angry fire hose, it wrapped itself around their arms and gnawed relentlessly on their shoulder, drawing smudges of golden blood as they started to run for the bridge. In order to stay out of the bottom of the rankings, the three of them needed to get back before the others.
Let's go,
Teo shouted, and he ran for the bridge, Shio and Nia on either side. They got to the bridge first, but Teo could hear Ocelo's heavy footfalls right behind them. Ocelo was strong, but the three of them were faster. They crossed the bridge, made it back to the platform, and dove across the finish barrier. Teo, Nia, and then Shio. Three short trumpets burst from Mariachi's cornet, and Teo's watch shook in time with them. But before Ocelo could cross,
the cornet trilled. Buzz. Ocello slammed into the barrier and bounced right off, sending them flying back. Time was up. The trial was over.